So with all that said, I hope you're relaxed, because I believe I got a message from the Lord. And several times this week, I didn't want to, I was like talking with the Lord about it, and I said, are you sure? And he pretty much said, yeah. So it's time to hear this. We're going to be over in James 4, if you've got your Bibles. Okay. I made a quick note. I started even this morning when I was praying and seeking God. How many have been going through some struggles? Okay. Several hands. How many is going through some struggles? More hands. Okay. Praise God. I was thinking this week, you know, we've got a little garden of the Good Shepherd, and how we've got some plants that are struggling up there. You know, it takes a plant, or how a plant is, sometimes it don't look like it's growing or doing anything, but underneath we don't really know what the roots are doing, you know? And one of the things that we got to look at in our walk in Christianity is that we're going to have struggles. And for that plant to grow, guess what it's got to do? It's got to struggle. And while it struggles, guess what it does? It goes and the root system starts growing. It starts spreading out. And guess then what happens? It grows and gets stronger. You know, it even says, I don't know who says, maybe it's scientific, but that a plant even grows at night. You think it's all about sun. But it can be it grows the most in the storms. Did you know that? It'll grow the most in the storms. And when that thing it's tossing back and forth and all, it's having to hold on in the root system. And so I believe the Lord said this morning, we need to understand what the root system that God wants in our life is. The things that we've been experiencing, we can't look at them. All is all bad, okay? The struggles. And my pastor this week met with us up there, and he talked about this basically, that this one same thing that confirmed that I should speak on this today, but yet about this struggle and how it, you know, the Lord always allows things in our lives so that we can allow Him to be exalted above ourselves. Because if there wasn't struggles and there wasn't things, if we wasn't going through things, guess what? We'd be selfish individuals. We'd be, I got this, you know, under control, all these things. So the Lord allows these things to happen in our life, whether we like it or not. And look through the Bible. Look at Job. Look at some of the men that struggled through life. So this morning I want to encourage you. There's a couple things over that. It may be a blessing from God, first of all, that you're struggling. But the second thing, it may be a curse. It may be from the enemy also. And and I wrote this to the side. Forgive me for my writing, because it was like... It may be also a curse and a lie from the enemy, our flesh, our carnal mind, our selfishness, that convinces ourselves it will get better. It's going to get better. If I. Can I tell you, we're going to talk about the lies from underneath. Within today. And it's not if I, it's if he this morning. We got to look at that. It says in the Bible, if my people who are called by my name will what? Humble themselves and pray and seek my face.
And then
turn from your wicked ways And then what?
I will hear from heaven.
We'll hear from heaven. And he will heal
Ireland.
So this morning, this may be a hard message. This message is probably going to make you uncomfortable. And this morning, I don't apologize for it because the Lord said I was supposed to preach it. All right, so you strap up, pull it on, and listen to what the Lord has to say, okay? I'm going to start off in this story before we go over to James 4. And there's in 1960, Israelis undercover agent orchestrated this daring kidnapping of one of the worst of the Holocaust masterminds, Adolf Eichmann. Anybody ever heard of him? I see a few. After capturing him in South Africa in a hideout there, they transported him to Israel to stand trial. There, prosecutors called a string of former concentration camp. They were in the concentration camp prisoners as witnesses. And one of them was a small man named Yehiel Demuer, if I'm saying that right. Who had miraculously escaped death in Auschwitz. Now, it's hard for a country boy from the south, from Georgia. Auschwitz. And so anyway, on his day to testify, Denoor entered the courtroom and stared in the man's eyes for the first time. He stared in the man's eyes, and he had him in this bulletproof glass room, cage, like they do. And he made eye contact. The man who had murdered Denoor's friends personally executed a number of Jews and presided over thousands and millions slaughtered under this man. His eyes of two men met. Victim and murderous tyrant. The courtroom fell silent, filled with the tension of the confrontation. But no one was prepared for what was going to happen next. Denoor began to shout out and sob, it said, collapsed to the floor. So, was he overcome by hatred? By the horrifying memories? By the evil incarnate in the Eichmann's face? No. As he later explained, he was on an interview in 60 Minutes, and it was because Eichmann was not the demonic personification of evil that he thought he was, that Denoor had expected. Rather, he was an ordinary man, just like anyone else. And in that one instance, Denoor came to a stunning realization that sin and evil are the human condition. He said, "I was afraid about myself." Denoor said, "I saw that I am capable to do this exactly like he." Denoor's remarkable statement caused Mike Wallace to turn to the camera and ask the audience the most painful of all questions. How was it possible for a man to act as Eichmann acted? Was he a monster? A madman? Or was he perhaps something even more terrifying? Was he normal? Denoor's shocking conclusion, Eichmann is in all of us. When I read that story, it was like God said, it's time to preach this. So The language of sin and evil is a lost language, I believe, in today's society, today, and even in the church. Okay? And our culture is uncomfortable with the words. When we start talking about evil, we start talking about sin, especially in the church, right? And we don't like to place labels on anyone or a quick rationalization of behavior by pointing to a broken home or abusive relationship. We find a new way of identifying what we used to call sin, and today we call it like broken or wounded or unhealthy. Why do you think that is? Because we don't want to hurt anyone's self-esteem, do we? We don't want to hurt anybody's feelings. We don't want to step on any toes. And the church is as guilty as anybody. Most. Put them at the top of the list, because pastors ourselves, and even myself at times, has caught myself thinking, well, I need to preach something positive. I need to make everybody feel good today, or they won't come back. But the Lord's telling me that I'm doing an injustice to you as a pastor. I'm doing an injustice to you as a minister if I don't preach the truth. Because the truth is what sets us free. Is that an amen or an oh me? The fact is, we got to understand sin and evil resides in all of us. Because I want you to go away from here feeling good about the relationship with God, not feeling bad about ourselves, but I also want you to go away with something powerful today. I want you to go away with something you can grow with, like the plant. Because if you're not stretched, if you're not in a place where you can actually grow, then guess what? This is nothing more than a social club. There's too many popping up on every corner, every strip mall, and everywhere around. And God says He don't want this place to be that. He don't want His church to be that. This is a prophetic word. I'm telling you, He wants you to be healed. He wants you to be delivered. He wants you to be set free. But He also wants you to realize how important it is to understand what it means to be a sinner. This morning. So in our attempt to make each other feel good, we've lost something very important. We've lost track of the fact that if there's no darkness, no evil, and no sin, then there can't be no light, no goodness, and no love to overcome it. The things in our life, we're going to just get stuck in. And we're going to continue in the same path we've been in over and over and over again. It's exhausting to be there, isn't it? Somebody say amen with me. I know it's getting quiet in here, but it is. It's exhausting to be there. So what's the answer? I hope today you get it. I really do. So if we take a brief survey, listen to this of the Scripture. You'll discover that the Bible writers they didn't have a problem with reflecting on this. They didn't have a problem at all. And according to my concordance and my study, the word evil was found in the Bible some 600 times. And then the word sin some more than 500 times. The gospel alone contains over 50 references to evil. And Paul used the word more than 60 times. The New Testament also has over 100 references to sin. So what conclusion should we draw from this? I want to suggest today that we cannot simply ignore any longer these words and the need to address this in the walk of God in our life. It's time. God wants to raise you up. He wants to elevate you. But you can't. He can't do that. And we know why. Today I want to tell you that the Lord wants us to expose the darkness and the lies and the problem of evil and the process whereby we can overcome it in our lives. I want to start today by talking with you about our need to uncover the lies that we tell ourselves and come face to face with the enemy within. Today, God's goal is to make you and I uncomfortable. How many love that today? How many just love to be uncomfortable? Because everybody twitches in their seat. Nobody, right? You see, I believe, we're all guilty of lying to ourselves, okay? I believe we are. And I believe that most of us in this church today are here because we believe that we're doing the right thing and being here. But can I ask you this question? What are our motives? What are our motives? Today God wants us to come clean. And most of us here today believe we're good people for the most part, right? We're good people. I mean, I'm preaching to the choir, right? You know that. You're not here today. You're the people to whom others look up to. You're the ones that others respect. When your neighbors are hung over at a party and you're getting up, you're the one getting up, getting ready to go to church. Right? You may put your $10 in offering. You may even give a tenth of what you have from work God has given you. You're a good person, right? Aren't we all? At least we think so, don't we? We want to think so, right? Come on. Can I be so bold today to say, oh, we like to lie to ourselves and to those around us and say, look at me. Look at what a great father I am. Look what a great mother I am. Look at what I've done. And yet, in the secret places, we're sick. We say in CR, we're as sick as only our sin, our secrets, excuse me. We're sick as our secrets. But somewhere deep down inside where others cannot see, there's another person hidden down in the shadows. There's a woman in very deep anger and resentment towards the world. There's a man who can't control his lust. And there's a teenager or a young adult out there that's strung out on alcohol or on drugs going to destroy their life. And they don't know how to stop. There's a tongue which enjoys tearing other people apart with the words. And it's uncontrollable. The Bible says our tongue is what?
The most dangerous part of the body.
It's the most dangerous part of our body. And it should be bridled. There's that person that sows discord and has a phone ministry, as we say it. They got the phone ministry going on. They want to talk to everybody and to everybody about everybody's problem, but they don't want to talk about their own problem. Come on, I know I ain't the most popular pastor this morning, but it's the truth. You see, we've got to get to the bottom of the things that are underlying secrets in our life. That's what God wants to happen right here today. And in the church in general, if my people who are called by name, are you called by God's name?
Amen.
All right. Will humble themselves. Amen. It takes humility to get to this place I'm talking to you about. It takes being honest. Whatever it is, we've all got the same problem in here. We've all got the same problem. Sin. Right? Our sin does what? Separates us from God.
Amen.
It separates us from God. But yet we go on through life and we go on through the daily routines and everything and we think we're okay. Right? But yet our sin has separated us from God. It's like a virus which is which spreads to every human being. And a virus which sometimes is more subtle than others, but which ultimately is present in each of our bodies. And, you know, some viruses, they stay there, but you can't get rid of them. You know what I mean? They're there. You can't see them. And sin's that way. But the truth is, it's a virus that was taken care at Calvary over 2,000 years ago. And yet, we all continue to struggle on a daily basis. Do we not?
Amen.
I told you I wasn't going to be popular. Turn over to James 4. James 4. What is the source of quarrels and conflicts among you? Is not the source your pleasures that wage war in your members? You lust and do not have, so you commit murder, and you are envious and cannot obtain. So you fight and quarrel, and you do not have because you do not ask. You ask and do not receive because you ask with what?
Wrong motive.
So that you may spend it on what? On your own pleasures. Four and four. You adulteress, do you not know that friendship with the world is hostility towards God? Therefore, whoever wishes to be a friend of the world makes himself an enemy of God. Or do you think that the Scriptures speak to no purpose? He jealously desires the Spirit which He has made to dwell in us. But He gives a greater grace. Therefore it says, God is opposed to the proud, but gives grace to what? The humble. The book of James here talks about it in this reading. He says, you know those conflicts that you have. Do you know where it comes from? It's basically the question here. What do you think he's talking about here, somebody? Where's it coming from? Down deep within, right? It comes from deep down inside of you. They come from a craving that you have. They come from desires that the Apostle Paul used in Romans 5 and 12. He said, therefore, just as though one man sins enters the world and death through the sin, and so death spread to what? All men, because all sin. This thing that you crave and desire originated from the sin of Adam and Eve and now has become a disease which is spread to all human beings. James says the problem that we have, that we so frequently blame on each other, our situation ultimately comes from within. And today I want to ask you to uncover that lie that's been lying and living within. I believe that most of us in this room tell ourselves at least one of these three lies. Now, here we go. The first lie says, I'm okay on my own. Anybody know in the famous last words?
Yeah, right.
I got this. Right? Famous last words. The person who thinks this is one who really believes that they have lived a pretty decent life, convinced themselves and maybe a few others that they're in control of it all. Sure, they've made some mistakes. Sure, they screwed things up occasionally. But overall, they've done a pretty good job, I think, managing my life. And some of these people go to church every Sunday. They think that it's so, in so doing, they're helping the scales to tip that much farther in the right direction. It's helping everything. They will one day get it right. Their deception convinces them to stay right where they are. And it's all going to be okay. Matthew 7:13 says this. This is a good news translation. I liked it when I wrote this. Go in through the narrow gate, because the gate to hell is wide and the road that leads to it is easy, and there are many who travel it. Somewhere at the end of their life, these people we're talking about, maybe some of you, maybe that are convinced of this lie, they believe that the good will outweigh the bad, and they'll make it into heaven, even by the skin of their teeth, because they've done okay on their own. They've done the right things. Maybe that's you today. Maybe you're a good person. But hear me this morning. The Bible says in Romans 3:23, it tells us we have all sinned. We all sin and we all fall short of the glory of God. On our efforts, we're going to fall short every stinking time. Every time. Romans 6:23 says the wages of sin is what? Death. It doesn't matter how good you've been. It doesn't. It doesn't matter if you've ultimately done more good than bad. Because even the smallest of sin is enough to separate us from God. The scales have already been tipped by your sin, and there's no way that you can ever make up for it. Don't lie to yourself this morning. You're not okay on your own. You don't have control. When we convince ourselves, I got the wheel, guess what? God will say, okay, go ahead and drive. See how that's working for you. Right? Over and over again, we fall in the insanity of doing it time and time and time again, because we think we've got it this time. So, it's time to have a reality check this morning. The lie is evident, but you have to hear God this morning. You cannot make it in this life without Him. There is no way you're going to make it. The second lie that we tell ourselves is, I'm better than that. Anybody remember the story about Jesus when he told about the Pharisee and the tax collector? Luke 18, I think it's over there. There was two men who were in a church and went to church to pray. A religious man and a tax collector. And the tax collector knew what a lousy person he was. He realized he was a lousy person, and he was so ashamed of himself that he wouldn't even walk up to the front of the church. He wouldn't even come up to the front of the temple, the church, but stayed at a distance and beat his breast, cried out, have mercy on me, God, I'm a sinner. He knew what was wrong with him. Now, the religious man, on the other hand, knew that he was religious, you know. He knew that he was doing things right, and he was living by the book, the law. He was following the commandments, but he had nothing to worry about. He didn't have nothing to worry about, because there was nothing wrong with him. He knew that he was better than the tax collector. Sound familiar? It is so easy to look at everybody else instead of ourselves. Yeah, it's quiet in here this morning. Thank you, Jesus. It is. It's. I'm preaching to myself. I'm telling you, God wants us to clean up our act. He wants us to face reality this morning. And so have you ever told yourself that you're a good person because you don't cheat on your taxes? Or have you ever thanked God that you're not like your friend who has some severe problems, maybe their temper and their anger? And have you ever told yourself that you're a better person than your neighbor who's been married 4 times and can't get their marriage together and things are falling apart in their life? Have you ever thanked God that you were not like that woman who's gossiping and constantly talking to other people bad, negative things? Come on. Have you ever been like that? Hear me this morning. It's a lie. It's what the enemy wants you to understand. Everything is level at the foot of the cross this morning. To God, sin is sin. And it doesn't matter if you look at Sally Sue and her sin may be greater than yours right now. But I told the guys this the other day, listen, sin isn't sin until you realize it. Now let me say that again. Until what sin for me may not be sin for a new believer at this time in their walk. Okay? Because the Holy Spirit Himself reveals it. And when He reveals it, though, then guess what? It becomes sin. And it's time to deal with it. It's time to come clean. And the insanity of doing it over and over and over again is, trust me, that's not true repentance. It isn't. You may ask for forgiveness several times, but that's not what God wants this morning. He wants us to come clean. And we convince ourselves of this lie that I'm better than that. I'm better than this. And so no matter how sinful or righteous you think you are this morning, sin is sin to God. Amen or oh me. But when you begin to judge others, you look down upon others and who you think you're better than, you place yourself even in greater danger of being judged by God.
Amen.
Jesus said that we need to humble ourselves before God and He will exalt thee. That's the way James spoke here also. Don't fool yourself into thinking that you're better than others. You're not. None of us are. None of us are. Oh, and by the way, those scriptures over in Matthew 7, Jesus' main focus on that whole chapter was on judging. If you look back and look at it. Do you remember the little saying? Anybody ever heard this little saying, maybe from your mom or your dad or somebody, if you was a kid or something, you drop some candy or something on the ground or something, or a piece of food, and you hear that... a little dirt won't hurt you. A little dirt won't hurt you. Anybody? Come on, besides me. I've said it, done it. Told my kids, they blow it off. A little dirt won't hurt you. That's the third lie. That's the third lie. After we come face to face with our sin and accepted the forgiveness that is offered through Jesus Christ, we go on living our lives and often forget that we're called to live different in Christianity today. We've come to a place where we think that a little dirt won't hurt, a little this won't hurt, a little that won't hurt. I think this is probably the most powerful and most convincing lie in the church today and in our lives today. It's the lie that says once you've been forgiven by Christ, that the coast is clear, that it's all downhill from here, everything. Is that the truth?
No.
Absolutely not. You're in heaven, so there's nothing to worry about now, right? It's the lie that we'll tell ourselves every time to convince ourselves so that our flesh will feel good. so that we can justify by the grace of God. And that is the one thing I want to tell you today. What this lie does is it creates carefree living in which the children of God get caught up in the work of the devil. It's evil. It's the evil down within our hearts. Paul said it. The heart is evil inside of man. We got to understand it's a lie. It's a lie that leads the author of the book of James to write this chapter and to go and to deal with these things to avoid. Because when we tell ourselves the lie, we begin to take advantage of the grace that we've been given. We begin to slack off. We become slackers. It's real easy. It's real easy. You start a pattern. You get out of church a little while. See how hard it is to come back.
Amen.
Because the devil's going to lie to you. Oh, they going to talk about me. They've been talking about. Oh, he start whispering in your ear all these lies. And then next thing you know, you're watching Joel Osteen on church, on TV. Now, I'm not knocking that. I want you to get all you can get. But it ain't all about positive. I'm telling you this morning, God wants us to come clean in the body of Christ. He wants us to face the reality that sin is sin, and nobody wants to preach on it this day. Just like nobody wants to preach on heaven and hell. Come on. I know I ain't popular, but this is what the Lord wants me to preach this morning. So when we tell ourselves this lie, we're buying into the evil one's plan. It's a plan. The trap has been set. The trap of us keeping us bound up in our sin, even though we have the power to overcome it. Through the Holy Ghost, through the Holy Spirit, we ignore the truth. And the truth is the only thing that will set us free. And pastors are the worst because we stand in the pulpits today and we fear that we're going to lose people. We fear that we're not going to get the money from people when we don't preach on tithe. We fear all these things. And God said this morning that He ain't happy with it. He wants us to humble ourselves this morning.
Amen.
Submit to Him. If you go on down, in the, it says, submit therefore to God. Resist the devil, and then he'll flee from you. Draw near to God, and he'll draw near to you. Cleanse your hands, you sinners, and purify your hearts, you double-minded. James wasn't holding back, was he? Hey, I can't hold back this morning. We've got to hear from heaven. Hear me, a little dirt will hurt. When it comes down to sin, there's no difference in a little bit. You can't convince yourself of the lie that it's okay when it's not with God. He looks, it's all level at the foot of the cross. It's all the same to God. Our sin separates us from Him. Doesn't matter how good you are or how good a person you are. I'll never forget. I did pastoral care for years at a church, and I was supposed to go visit a lady, and I don't think I've told this story, but I feel like I'm supposed to this morning. Went to visit her. She had to stay home, and we hadn't seen her in a while, so I went and visited her, and I got over to her house, and the reason she hadn't come for a while, her husband was sick. And he was in his 80s, I guess. About 82, I believe, if I remember right. And she said, I've been having to stay home with my husband, Pastor Ronnie. I sure miss church. And I said, well, that's understandable. I know now that we can come over and visit with you. I can get you some tapes and whatever, you know, you shut in. That's understandable. You got to do what you got to do. And she said, come on in the house. I said, okay. I got some cookies and stuff. And I'm like, all right, here we go, some cookies. Yeah. And I went in, and she said, this is my husband. And I'll never forget, when God begins to speak, you better listen. Amen. Hear me. Look at me. If God begins to speak, you better listen. This morning, you better listen to what I'm saying. This morning, and I went in, and I went into that room, and God says, you're here for him. I said, okay. Not out loud, but to myself. so she's, bless you, sweetest woman, giving me some cookies. Okay, I said, how you doing, sir? Well, I ain't been doing too good. I've been in the hospital and all this and that. And he began to tell me all these problems. And I'm like, okay, Lord, I get it. And his daughter was there. She's like 40-some-year-old probably. And she's talking for our daddy, you know, daddy this and daddy that. Long story short was we got to a point where I said, sir, would you mind me asking you a couple questions? He said, no. I said, do you know for certain if you died today you'd have eternal life? Now, I know this is a bold sermon this morning, and that's a bold question, but it's in your face. And as a minister of the gospel, and I got to be obedient to God, you got to do that sometimes. His daughter got very angry with me. I mean, I thought I was fixing to get thrown out of that house. And I said, well, it's okay. You may not know what your answer is right now. He said, yeah, I've been a pretty good man. And I said, well, let me ask you this. Suppose you were standing before God right now, and he said, why should I let you into my heaven? What do you think the answer would be? And he dropped his head. And I knew right then why I was there. That house, this man didn't know Jesus as his personal Lord and Savior. And before I left that place, yes, his daughter was there. He began to weep and he began to cry, and I shared this plan of salvation with him. At 82 years old, that man accepted the Lord Jesus Christ as his personal Lord and Savior. And when I left, his daughter was still angry, but she had really come, she said, on the porch. She said, now Daddy went to church and Daddy did all this. She was still trying to justify her dad. Can I tell you this morning, it ain't enough to go to church. Amen. It ain't enough to know. It says even the demons know. Amen. And they tremble because they fear the Lord. You see what's happened to the body of Christ? There's no fear of the Lord this morning in the body of Christ. And that is a reverence to know that, hey, if I keep in this sin, it's separating me from God. There's consequences in my life. And guess what? He is a holy and just God. And He is a God of love. He hates the sin, guys. He hates it. But he loves the sinner. This morning, understand that. You can't judge a book by its cover. There's something deep down inside that God wants to get into each and every one of us this morning. There's those little things, little white lies, little justifications of things that you think, well, I'll work that out. Okay? Guess what? You're believing that lie. And that lie is convincing you that a little dirt won't hurt. But ultimately, they're all lies. They're all lies. It don't matter if it's a big one or a little one, right? And to God, it's all the same. Only when we can identify the enemy can take steps towards victory over him. Today and this week, I want to challenge you to pray that God will help you to uncover the lie. That you're telling yourself and come face to face with your sin, with the evil that you're allowing Satan to orchestrate in and through you. So it's the first steps that we must take, the process of overcoming the power of sin in your life. Like we say in first step in CR, accept that we are in denial in certain areas. Our life has become unmanageable. Today, my goal was to make you feel uncomfortable, and it was his goal when he made me feel uncomfortable. So as your pastor, as a preacher this morning, it was his goal to make all of us uncomfortable, to help us and to come to realization that we're lying to ourselves, and we have a disease. The disease is sin, which affects every one of us. It affects every one of us, and today we need to face that reality. God's holy, God's righteous, God hates our sin, He loves us, but yet it separates us. And true repentance is the only way. It's the first step back to the cross. It's the first step back to the reality. 2 Corinthians 7:10 says this, "For the sorrow that is according to the will of God produces a repentance without regret, leading to salvation. But the sorrow of the world produces death." What do you think that is? The sorrow of the world. What's the sorrow of the world?
Sin.
Undeniable sin. Blasphemy against the Holy Ghost. Unpardonable sin, right? When you blaspheme against the Holy Ghost, what are you doing?
Denying God.
Denying God?
You're denying the very essence of God. You're denying the grace of God, the Holy Spirit of God that He's given you. That's how you can, that's how you're able to commit the unforgivable sin. You have to ask that which you've given you to be.
Absolutely. And so the only way is through a true repentance, a godly sorrow, a place where you have humbly, like it said in the beginning, we said, Peter tells the people in the book of Acts, it's his second sermon he ever preached, 3, and he says in 19, he says, "Repent and return so that your sins may be wiped out," or one King James says, "blotted out." In order that times of refreshing may come from the presence of the Lord. How many want some times of refreshing come from the Lord? When times of refreshing come from the Lord, they ain't painful. Can I tell you? They're free. There's this like a freedom like you've never felt when you come clean before God and you've laid it all out there at the foot of Jesus, and now He's taking it and everything, you're washed white as snow. That's the grace. That's the power from on high. The blasphemy against the Holy Ghost is denying that power and the power thereof, that you can do it. You can do all things through Christ. And the only way, is by the power of the Holy Spirit. I can do nothing without Him. You have to get to that place. And you have to face it. But if you have become comfortable, now listen to this. If you've become uncomfortable, it's because the Holy Spirit came this morning, not me, okay, and wants you to be free from your sin and set you free in Jesus' name. But if you've become comfortable and you continue to stay in comfort zone, you might need to get a reality check. God don't keep us comfortable. Don't you wish He did? If He didn't do it with His Son Jesus, He ain't going to do it with you or me.
Amen. No, those mountains.
Was Jesus, how did it say, people say, well, God won't do that. He won't tempt you. Really? What did it say when Jesus, it was time for His ministry to start, and He fasted for 40 days, what happened?
The devil tempted.
Well, before that, it says that He was led, what?
Into the desert by the Spirit.
Led in the desert by the Spirit. There is no temptation such as common to all of us, to man. But with that temptation, God is faithful to make a way of escape or a way that we can bear it. It doesn't say you're always going to get what you want or that you can bear it. He knew that Jesus could bear it. He knew that he had the power. He knew that you would be here this morning to hear this message. But he also knows that there's hidden things in our life. And they become viruses down deep inside of us that rise up and like a canker sore eats the living life out of you. And that moment when you're about to go to the next place in him, that thing comes back. Come on, somebody know what I'm talking about. That one thing, you're messed up. And listen, I ain't preaching this. Paul said, after all the things that I do, I don't want to do, and I do them, and I don't understand why I do them, and these things, but he says, and he goes on, but it's only by Christ, it's Christ that can deliver me from this wicked, sinful man that I am, he says. He recognized what he was from inside. But he goes on and says in 8, but there is no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus.
We walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit.
But after the Spirit. The power that sets you free. So can I tell you and be just straight and honest, if God has convicted you of your sin, that one thing in your life, and you continue in it, and you continue in it, and you continue in it, it is insanity, but it also is a dangerous place. Because eventually you're going to step in something you can't get out of. Because God is not with you.
That's right.
Yes, he won't leave us or forsake us, but it don't mean he won't lead you into a wilderness place to see if you can say, man does not live by bread alone. But by what?
Every
word that proceeds out of the mouth from the Father. You see, you've got to win this battle on your knees. You've got to win it in humility. You've got to face the fact that, yes, you're a sinner, but you're saved by grace through faith and all these things. But you cannot continue to believe the lies that the enemy wants you to believe. 1 John 1:9 says, if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to what? Forgive us of our sins. Cleanse us from all unrighteousness. A little bit? So then why ain't you giving it all? Come on. Oh, didn't want me to say that. The lie of the enemy has to be exposed today. We need God for everything in our life. God wants to heal us of our infirmities. Guess what? You know what? He already did. 2,000 years ago. Mm-hmm. If you go on in James, it's in our CRO, it says, but if we confess our sin from one another to one another, then he is faithful. To what?
Heal us.
This is an inner healing. Okay? We're already healed at the cross by his stripes. This is an inner healing. You've got to confess it. Just like when you're saved. It says, confession, salvation is what? Romans 8, 10 and 9 says, we confess it with our mouth, the Lord Jesus. So it's something that we're coming out, coming clean with. And so then we're in a place of humility. Jesus, real quickly, I got 2 minutes. And Jesus, this is in Matthew 9. I'm going to close with this. Y'all ready to hear some good news? Jesus went in on from there. He saw a man called Matthew. Who was Matthew? Tax collector. And he said to him, follow me.
famous words. And he got up and followed him. Then it happened that as Jesus was reclining at the table, he went to the house to have supper, he's kicked back. Behold, many tax... Oh, here they come. Naysayers. Many tax collectors and sinners came and were dining with Jesus and his disciples. Notice that. He didn't say, no, don't let them in. When the Pharisees saw this, they said to his disciples, why is your teacher eating with the tax collectors and sinners? But when Jesus heard this, he said, it is not those who are healthy who need a physician, but those who are sick. But go and learn what this means, he said. Here it is now. Get this. I desire compassion and not sacrifice. For I did not come to call the righteous, but the sinner. He may have made you very uncomfortable this morning. But you know why he did? Because he loves you. Because I love you is why I'm preaching here. And he wants you to understand this is what he desires. Jesus understood the sinners and his grace is sufficient. But to follow him, he called out to Matthew, we have to deny ourselves. We have to submit all to him and forget about what we think, what we know, what we see in the errors in our lives or in others, the things that are unmanageable. And what is it that Jesus, he said he desires? Compassion. That word translates mercy. More than sacrifice. That is humility. The prophet told the king, you might know who I'm fixing to go to, Samuel and Saul. He told him, obedience is better than sacrifice. This isn't a sacrifice. He was a sacrificial lamb. It's not about what we can do. It's not about anything that we can do on our own. It's all about him and desiring a relationship with you and I, the compassion, what he's talking about. And that's what he said when it's like, he said, follow me. When he says, act sin, you say, you do it. He got up, followed him, just like Peter. Follow me. I'll make you fishermen, men. He also told him, oh, take up your cross and follow me. By taking up your cross, there's some stuff got to die. The cross is a representation of death, is it not? So this morning, anybody in here, bow your heads, would you? Can anybody be honest before the Lord this morning and say, oh me, ouch, whatever it takes, I don't know, but realize, and I bet you already there's several things in your life God's done put his finger on just in this message. I know he did me when I was studying it. And trust me, I done been on my knees repenting, and I done been asking God, deliver me, set me free. Cleanse me. If that's you this morning, raise your hand. I'm going to pray for you. Thank you. Thank you for being honest. Thank you. Thank you. The Lord sees their hands. Don't matter what nobody else sees or thinks. Right where you're at, the Bible says if we repent of our sins, I want you to do that right now. And I want you and him to have a prayer before I have a prayer. You and Him. That's what it's all about. God, your grace is sufficient. Thank you, God. Now that same area that God has laid His hands on, are you willing this morning to turn from it? That's the question I'm asking. Are you willing to turn from it this time? Seriously, true repentance, godly sorrow. Not sorry that you got caught, like I tell the guys in jail. This ain't no jailhouse religion. This ain't nothing but you and Him this morning. He knows the intent of our heart. Yeah, you've been struggling. But you know what? He says, take my yoke this morning. If you take His yoke, the burden is light. He yokes up and puts it all on Him. And He... He was the obedient sacrificial lamb for you and I both. It takes it all off of you. But it says, be converted. Are you willing to be converted this morning? If so, I want you to tell Him, ask Him, convert my heart, Lord. Mold it, shape me into your image this morning. Heavenly Father, I thank you for every man and woman in this room. That God, that this morning, they stuck it out through this, and Lord, they're right now crying out to you. And God, that you're smiling from heaven because you said you leave the 99 for the one. And that one that's, Lord, come home today, I'm thankful, God. That Lord, that we think that just because it's a small sin that it's different, but it isn't. Now, God, there's going to be some people leave here clean today. I'm thankful, God, for that. I'm thankful and joyous this morning that, God, that your grace is sufficient. Now, Lord, would you lay your hand on them through the power of the Holy Spirit? Empower everyone in this room right now that, God, that they can do this with you. That, Lord, all things are possible. And, God, that these things that seem like they're overwhelming in their life, that they continue over and over and over again in, Lord, is a lie from the enemy. And, Lord, the flesh has to be crucified right now. And, God, that you will deliver. You will set them free when they get to that place in total submission, total truth. True repentance, God. And I thank you for doing it this morning. Now, Lord, I pray blessings over everyone here. Every prayer request, Lord, that goes in that box. Lord, I pray over the tithes, the offering, the things, Lord, that you blessed in that box, in the offering. I thank you, Lord, that, Lord, you move in the heart of everyone in this room to sow their seed. And God, may each one of these believers this morning, each one of these saints this morning, Lord, walk in the fullness of who you are. From this moment forward, God, we know we'll all fall short, but Lord, there's power, there's power, there's wonder-working power in your name, Lord Jesus. And all God's children said, amen, amen. All right. Bless the Lord.